welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My latest is a cozy mystery, Past Secrets and Lies, the second in the Gardner and Chataway Cozy Mystery series. I'm also the founder of Chill Awards for Independent Authors. Celebrating Success is about meeting a variety of people from all walks of life and interests. Today on Celebrating Success, I'm heading over to San Diego in the States to talk to my wonderful guest, Elizabeth St. John. Elizabeth is better known as an international award-winning author, but what you might know that is that Elizabeth's family's seat is in Lydiard Park in Swindon. One of her distant relations, Sir John St. John, goes back to the 17th century. Throughout the centuries, Elizabeth's ancestors have brushed shoulders with monarchs and the titled. So please sit back and welcome my lovely guest, Elizabeth St. John. Hi, Liz. How lovely to see you. And you know, I can't believe I'm here in Norfolk and you're in San Diego in the States.
I know, isn't it magical, Pauline? Well, I'd rather like to be in Norfolk myself. We could go down the pub and have a chat rather than be on Zoom.
Well, that'd be wonderful. But here it's 3:15 in the afternoon, but it's only 6:45 for you in the morning.
That's right. I'm looking out of my study window. I have a sunrise over the Sierra Mountains to the east of me, and I'm about a mile inland from the Pacific. So it's a beautiful spot. It really is.
It sounds absolutely magical. But also, Liz, you are an award-winning international author, particularly of historical novels. But whilst you write wonderful historical novels, you also have quite a good history yourself. In fact, you have a family seat here in England, is it Lydiard Park in Swindon, where your ancestors go back to the 17th century.
That's right. Yes, I grew up in England in a family of historians. I grew up on the North Sea in an old house that was sort of full of ghosts and stories and so on. And we've always had people within the family who've tracked our history. And Lydiard Park in Swindon is actually the ancestral home of the St. John family. St. John, as we say in England, but I have to say St. John in America, because otherwise I'd be spelling it all the time. Yes, Lydiard Park is a beautiful country seat. It's now a museum. It's open to the public. It's about 200 acres of parkland and a medieval home. The St. Johns have actually been there since the 14th century. A Palladian frontage on it. So it's an extraordinary house of beautiful architecture, full of ancestral paintings. I actually have a funny story. When I first went there, I was maybe about 10 or 11 years old, because it actually hasn't been in the family since World War II. It was taken over by the Swindon Borough Council in World War II, so reopened as a museum. And I'm going there, I was about 10 or 11 years old, went there with my brother, who's older than I am. And we're going through the rooms, and I remember coming up short in front of this sort of portrait of a very dignified gentleman dressed in Stuart clothing. And I said, Tony, look, it's Uncle Brian. And Tony went, what are you saying? And he came running and we looked. And this portrait, which was from the 1600s, is the absolute spitting image of my Uncle Brian. We just sort of went, okay, we're home. It felt so funny. But Wow. Yeah, it's a special place. It really is.
And of course, as a family, your ancestors go back to the 17th century when it was originally Sir John St. John, wasn't it?
Yes, actually, yes, absolutely. That was Sir John St. John bought the title in 1609. He was one of the lucky recipients of James I's need to raise money. So James said, I'll sell a few titles along the way. So Sir John bought it. Very, very productively. And he was actually the characters in my first trilogy of novels, The Lydiard Chronicles, which covers the family history from 1603 all the way through the Civil War and the Restoration. So I had a wealth of information and archival material to research family diaries, letters, wills, portraits. But yes, yeah, so that was a treasure trove to happen
So
upon.
these all these details appear in your earlier novels.
That's correct. That's correct. There's actually, I stumbled upon the diaries of Lucy Hutchinson, who was a wonderful, brilliant woman who lived through the Civil War. Her husband was actually a regicide. He was one of the parliamentarians that signed Charles I's death warrant. And Lucy herself lived in Nottingham Castle, but she was very tied to Lydiard. Her mother was Lucy St. John, my ancestress. And so my first book, The Lady of the Tower, actually was based on her story, living in the Tower of London, and extracted from the diaries that exist that Lucy wrote during her lifetime. So it's fascinating.
It certainly is very fascinating and exciting as well from your point of view to have that wonderful history behind you and to use it in today's publicating books, writing and publishing books, which I think is
Yeah.
marvelous. And of course, you are an international author with these wonderful books.
Well, I think you're telling human stories at the end of it, and I think it's what's been really gratifying to me. And it's a huge responsibility to write about your ancestors because you do want to do them justice. I'm not commercializing or writing on the back of what they did. It's more telling their stories. And here in America, it's my books have been greeted with sort of great enthusiasm because it's given people a new understanding of the 17th century or now the 15th century with my new book. And still telling stories that have such a human element. I mean, it's still love and war and conflict and departures. I mean, it's just all these different elements that we can all still relate to. So I
Well, I think
think
that
bringing
it,
that humanity is important.
but I think the important thing also, Liz, from your point of view, is that it is part of your ancestry. It's you're not just doing research because you particularly like a time in history, but you've actually got a family down in those centuries which you can look on and find out what they really lived like and bring it up to date in your books. So
Yes.
people today can understand your ancestry, and it's a personal, it is very personal in that respect.
It is very personal. And I have to say, when I wrote the Lydia Chronicles, as with any good book, you still have to have a hero and a heroine and a protagonist and an antagonist. It was with great trepidation when I actually sat down and chose, well, I knew Lucy would always be the heroine. But then Barbara Villers emerged as the antagonist, as the bad girl in the movie, in the whole novels. And so I had this sort of conflict of responsibility. If I always wanted to tell her story, and she was an extraordinary woman, and she did have, a well-documented history. But I had to sort of pull out some of the not so good parts of her character to make her an interesting antagonist in the stories. And I would sort of sit at my computer, and I have all of their pictures up on my desktop, and I sort of give her a quick apology every morning, saying, "Barbara, look, I'm sorry. I know I'm painting you this way, but you really were." And so, that's how it goes.
Oh, that's really wonderful. So, your latest book, tell us a little bit about that one because I know that's recently won an award.
It's won a Chill with a Book Award, which I am absolutely thrilled about. When you write from the heart, and you hope that people enjoy the work that you do. But when you receive an award like a Chill Award, it ties a bow on it. It's the icing on the cake. It's the recognition that you've actually produced work that stands amongst its peers and, is respected. So yes, that was thrilled to receive that. Thank you so
Tell
much.
us a little bit about the book that it's The Godmother's Secret. Tell us a little bit about it, please.
Right. Well, so I'd finished the
Without
Lydia.
don't give too much away because
No, I won't tell you the
the
secret.
listeners
Circle of trust here. I'm not going to share this with only with you, Pauline. So don't tell anybody else, right?
We'll not. No, we'll keep it quiet.
Don't broadcast it or anything like that. No, it was really interesting. So as you know, we have a very, very extensive family archive at Lydiard Park. It's called the Lydiard Archives. Free access actually for anybody. So if you're interested in finding out anything about social history of an English country house, go to the Lydiard Archives. So I was sitting, finished my chronicles, finished, and I'm thinking, what should I do for my next book? And I thought, let me put my name into the database of our family tree. And it's extensive. I mean, there's a few thousand names in there. It's all digitized. So I typed in Elizabeth St. John, and about six Elizabeth St. Johns popped up. And I went, oh, this is interesting. So I went through, and there was a Victorian one, and there was a Georgian one, neither of which are really interesting periods of history to me, I'm afraid to say, yet. And then I found a Tudor Elizabeth St. John, and then an Elizabeth St. John from 1460 popped up, and I went, wow, medieval. I don't know about her. So I started looking at her entry, and I found that she was actually the generation that first lived at Lydiard in the late 1400s. And her sister was Margaret Beaufort, who was the mother of Henry VII. And I went, oh, well, this is interesting. And there's a lot going on in that generation. And then I discovered, after digging around a little bit more, that she was the godmother to Edward V, the oldest prince in the Tower. And I went, oh my goodness. So here is this woman who was godmother to the prince in the Tower, half sister to Margaret Beaufort, and married to one of Richard III's favorite Northern Yorkshire barons. I bet she knew a few things, and I had my story. So
Wow.
I thought, okay, let me think about this because I wanted to write something not necessarily upbeat, but I didn't want to sort of write something really sad about children being murdered and war and so on. I'd sort of thought, let's see what I could go with this. And as I started to research the mystery of the princes in the tower, I really settled back in on the contemporary accounts that they just disappeared. We don't know what happened to them, except maybe their godmother, who stayed close to them through their lives, did. I have my story.
Fantastic, fantastic, Liz. That is wonderful. Now, when you're not writing, what do you do with yourself?
Well, I have a busy family life here in San Diego with my animals. I love to travel, and I love to read and do some volunteer work and so on. But I've always had cats and dogs in my life, and I have two creatures that entered our lives literally weeks before COVID lockdown, which is Arthur the Clumber Spaniel and Mo, my Persian cat. And serendipitously, they both arrived in our lives just as we were about to lock down. So we shared, 2 years of isolation with these two extraordinary creatures that keep us busy and happy all day long. So,
I'm sane. I'm sane.
and very well, most days sane. It depends what they're up to. I was writing to someone yesterday, and I couldn't get an email out because I had Mo on top of my desk and Arthur below it. And Mo's leaning over the desk, swatting at Arthur, and Arthur's trying to get on the desk to, how it goes. But and then they go out in the garden. Then I'm like, okay, everybody out. And let me have some peace here.
Well, I've got my boy, as you know, we've got a little cockapoo. He's sat under my desk listening to all of this. He loves the
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm afraid
podcasts.
Arthur's in his room down the other end of the house because he would be completely disruptive. And
Well, my boy's a
Mo's,
little bit older these days. He's over
yeah, that's
13. Yes.
well, it's so wonderful. We writing is overall, and I think you'll agree, it is a sort of not lonely, but you are alone when you write. And to have someone, snoring on your feet or draped across your desk as a paperweight is incredible company. So I've always had my animals around when I write.
Wonderful. Now, Liz, one of the things I'd like the listeners to know is how they can find out about your books, a little bit more about you. So, please, can you tell me your website address, please?
Yes, it's Elizabeth J. St. John, and that's STJOHN.com. So it's just my name, and I'm very fortunate. If you just Google Elizabeth St. John, it'll pop up, and you'll find me on Amazon, my author page there.
And I believe you can get your books both in Kindle and in paperback.
Absolutely. Kindle Unlimited, paperback. They're on the distribution through Waterstones in England or Barnes and Noble here in the US. And so, yes, and through your local independent bookstore, they're online to order. So, yes.
Lovely. That's great. Liz, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I can't believe your ancestry. It is absolutely fascinating. And I'm sure the listeners would want to learn more, and they can learn more by reading your books, because this is where you're bringing your ancestry to life.
Thank you, Pauline. Yes, and I would like to say that, perhaps next time I'm in England, I could take you for a cup of tea at Lydiard Park. I would love to show you the house, and it's open to the public. It's a wonderful place to go. So if anybody's reading my books or would be interested, reach out to me. I'd love to arrange a tour of Lydiard. It's a special place.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Liz. Wonderful talking to you. And most importantly, thank you for getting up so early to talk to me in the mid-afternoon here.
No
Very much
worries.
appreciate that. Thanks a million. And let's catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me, Pauline, and
Take
thanks again
care.
for the honor of a Chill Award. I so appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Liz. Let's talk again soon.
Okay, bye.
A huge thank you to Elizabeth for joining me and sharing some of the fascinating facts about her ancestors. I hope you enjoyed meeting Elizabeth and learning a little about her history, along with her best-selling novels. You can find out more about Elizabeth on her website, elizabethjstjohn.com. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. Until next time, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. You can listen to all my podcasts at paulinebarclay.podbean.com, and you are more than welcome to share my podcast with all your family and friends. I hope you will. Don't forget, you can find out more about me on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Ta-ta for now.